Have you ever poured something into your gas tank and just trusted the label? I'm Vector on Clear Direct, Radio Hanger's technology desk, and today we're talking about a fuel. Not a new engine, not a new airframe, a fuel. Because sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, might be the most important technology in aviation right now, and almost nobody in general aviation is paying attention to it. Here's why it matters. Every conversation about decarbonizing flight eventually crashes into the same wall. Batteries are too heavy. Hydrogen tanks are too big. Electric motors don't scale past 19 seats. And the world still needs to move 4.5 billion passengers a year on airplanes that already exist. You can't wait 30 years for a clean sheet design. You need something that works in the engines flying today. That's what SAF promises, a liquid hydrocarbon fuel, chemically almost identical to Jet A, made from sources that aren't ancient petroleum. You pour it in the same tanks, burn it in the same turbines, and the airplane doesn't know the difference. Drop-in compatible, no modifications, no new infrastructure at the airport, no retraining for line crews. Sounds too good, right? Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in a pilot's journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole path beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. So what actually is sustainable aviation fuel? It's not one thing, it's a category. There are at least 7 approved production pathways, and they start with wildly different raw materials. Used cooking oil from restaurant grease traps, agricultural waste like corn stalks and sugarcane husks, municipal solid waste, which is a polite way of saying garbage, forestry residues, purpose-grown energy crops like camelina, a scraggly little oilseed plant that grows on marginal land where food crops won't. And then there's the most futuristic pathway of all, power to liquid, where you pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, combine it with green hydrogen made from renewable electricity, and synthesize jet fuel from thin air, literally. Each pathway has a different carbon life cycle footprint, a different cost profile, and a different scalability ceiling. But the one thing they share is that the final product, once it's refined and blended, meets the same ASTM D7566 specification as conventional jet fuel. That's the standard. If it passes that spec, it can fly. Now, here's the first thing. Most people miss. SAF is not theoretical. It's flying right now, every single day. Airlines have completed more than 700,000 commercial flights using SAF blends since 2011. Los Angeles International Airport has had SAF in its hydrant fuel system since 2016. That means any airplane filling up at LAX could be getting a percentage of SAF without the pilot even knowing it. But percentage is the key word. Under current certification, SAF can only be blended up to 50% with conventional Jet A. The other half still has to be petroleum-based kerosene. Why? Because the approved pathways produce fuel that lacks certain aromatic compounds found in traditional jet fuel. Those aromatics, as unpleasant as they are from an emissions standpoint, serve a mechanical purpose. They cause certain elastomer seals in fuel systems to swell slightly, which prevents leaks. Remove all the aromatics and some legacy fuel system seals could shrink and fail. So the 50% blend limit is an engineering guardrail, not an arbitrary regulation. There's active research to push past that limit. In 2023, a Virgin Atlantic Boeing 777 flew from London to New York on 100% SAF. Both engines running on pure sustainable fuel. It worked perfectly, but it required special approval, months of testing, and seals that were verified compatible. The industry consortium working on full certification, meaning a blanket approval for 100% SAF in any airplane, is targeting the late 2020s. Some optimistic projections say 2030. That's not far away. The data tells an interesting story on the emissions side. Depending on the production pathway, SAF reduces life cycle carbon dioxide emissions by anywhere from 20% on the low end. For some crop-based methods, up to 99% for power to liquid. Life cycle means they account for growing the feedstock, transporting it, refining it, and burning it. The carbon the plant absorbed while growing roughly offsets the carbon released when the fuel burns. It's not a perfect zero, but it's dramatically better than pulling ancient carbon out of the ground and adding it to the atmosphere for the first time in 60 million years. And there's a bonus that doesn't get enough attention. SAF burns cleaner in the literal visible sense. It produces up to 90% fewer ultrafine particulate emissions than conventional jet fuel. Those particles are what seed contrails, the white lines you see behind airplanes at altitude, and there's growing research suggesting that contrails may actually contribute more to aviation's warming effect than the carbon dioxide itself. So SAF could be hitting two problems at once, fewer carbon emissions and fewer contrails. Alright, so, if SAF is real, it works. It's flying today, and it cuts emissions dramatically. Why isn't every airport pumping it? You already know the answer. Cost. Right now, SAF costs roughly 2 to 4 times more than conventional Jet A. The exact multiple depends on the production pathway used cooking oil-based SAF, called HEFA, which stands for hydroprocessed esters and fatty acids, is the cheapest and most mature pathway. It's maybe 2 to 2.5 times petroleum jet fuel. Power to liquid, the one that pulls carbon from the atmosphere, is at the other end. 4 to 6 times conventional cost today. For an airline operating on margins of 2 to 3%, that price premium is brutal. Fuel is already 30 to 40% of an airline's operating cost. If you replaced all of it with SAF at today's prices, most carriers would be instantly unprofitable. But here's where the trajectory matters more than the snapshot. Every new energy technology follows a cost curve. Solar electricity cost $76 per watt in 1977. Today, it's under 30 cents. The learning rate for SAF production is following a similar slope, though we're still on the steep early part. Several forces are bending that cost curve downward right now. The first is policy. The European Union's ReFuel EU mandate requires all flights departing EU airports to use a minimum of 2% SAF by 2025. 6% by 2030, and 70% by 2050. That's not voluntary, that's law. And it guarantees a market for producers, which justifies building the refineries, which drives economies of scale, which lowers cost. The United States followed with the Inflation Reduction Act, which includes a blender's tax credit of up to $1.75 per gallon for SAF that achieves at least a 50% emissions reduction. That credit alone can close most of the price gap for HAFE pathway fuel. The second force is supply chain investment. There are currently over 150 SAF production projects in various stages of development worldwide. Companies like Neste, the Finnish refiner, World Energy in California, Montana Renewables in Great Falls, and dozens of startups are scaling up. Montana Renewables alone can produce 300 million gallons of renewable fuel per year from its converted petroleum refinery. When these facilities reach full production, the supply that's been the bottleneck, we're talking less than half of 1% of total jet fuel supply being SAF today, should expand significantly. Third, and this is the one I find most technically interesting, the power-to-liquid pathway is getting cheaper because renewable electricity is getting cheaper. If you can electrolyze water with solar or wind power at 3 or 4 cents per kilowatt hour, the green hydrogen that feeds the Fischer-Tropsch synthesis becomes much more affordable. Companies like 12, based in California, and Infinium are building direct carbon capture to fuel plants that could eventually produce SAF at costs competitive with petroleum kerosene. The operative word is eventually. But the physics and engineering are sound, no thermodynamic miracles required. Now, let me be honest about the problems, because there are real ones and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. Feedstock competition is a genuine concern. Used cooking oil is finite. The world only produces so much of it, and it's already being fought over by the biodiesel, renewable diesel, and SAF industries simultaneously. You can't base a global aviation fuel strategy on French fry grease. The industry knows this, which is why the push toward cellulosic sources, waste gasification, and power to liquid is so important. But those pathways are less mature and more expensive. Scalability is the elephant in the room. Global aviation consumed roughly 100 billion gallons of jet fuel in 2023. Total SAF production that year was roughly 600 million gallons. That's 0.6%. Even with aggressive build-out, most credible forecasts say SAF will reach maybe 5 to 10% of global supply by 2030. Getting to 50% or higher requires a build-out on the scale of the petrochemical industry itself, and that takes decades and trillions of dollars of capital investment. Land use is another tension point. If you grow energy crops for SAF, are you displacing food production? The answer depends entirely on which crop and where. Camelina, for instance, can grow in rotation with wheat on land that would otherwise sit fallow, so it doesn't compete with food. But palm oil-based pathways have been rightly criticized for driving deforestation. The sustainability of SAF is only as good as the sustainability of its feedstock, and not all feedstocks are created equal. This is why certification bodies like the Roundtable on Sustainable Biomaterials exist, to verify that the supply chain actually delivers the environmental benefit it claims. And there's a nuance about carbon accounting that's worth understanding. When the industry says SAF reduces emissions by 80%, they're talking about life cycle emissions compared to petroleum. But the airplane's exhaust still contains carbon dioxide. The claim is that this carbon was recently captured from the atmosphere, so burning it is roughly carbon neutral, unlike fossil fuel, which releases stored carbon. That logic is sound for biomass-based pathways. It's even better for power to liquid, where you're literally recapturing atmospheric carbon. But it requires honest accounting and rigorous verification. And the history of biofuel carbon credits is, let's say, checkered. The system only works if the auditing is real. So what does this mean for you as a pilot? If you fly turbine equipment, you've probably already burned SAF without knowing it. If you fly piston, you're watching this from the sideline for now, since SAF is a jet fuel story, though there are parallel efforts to develop unleaded high-octane avgas replacements that borrow some of the same biorefining chemistry. For the broader aviation ecosystem, SAF is not the silver bullet, but it might be the most important bridge technology. It buys time. It works in the fleet that exists today, which is a fleet that will keep flying for 20 to 30 more years. You don't have to wait for a clean sheet electric airliner or a hydrogen infrastructure that doesn't exist yet. You just need fuel that's made differently. The most realistic scenario for 2040 or 2050 isn't one single solution. It's a layered stack. SAF handles long-haul and medium-haul. Battery electric handles short-haul, regional. Hydrogen maybe fills the middle. And operational efficiency, better air traffic routing, continuous descent approaches, formation flying concepts, shaves a few more percent off the top. But SAF is the one technology that can start moving the needle right now, today, on the biggest, hardest part of the problem, which is the 800 million tons of carbon dioxide that commercial aviation puts into the atmosphere every year. The sources for today's analysis include the International Air Transport Association's SAF fact sheets, the International Civil Aviation Organization's CORSIA framework documentation, the European Union's ReFuel EU aviation regulation text, Bloomberg NIF's long-term SAF cost projections, and reporting from Aviation Week and Flight Global on production facility buildouts. You'll find links at radiohangar.com. SAF isn't glamorous. It doesn't have wings or a cool paint scheme. But it might be the most consequential aviation technology of this decade. I'm Vector. Fly smart.